Hi, I'm Brian Hastings of Insomniac Games. I've worked on Spyro the Dragon, Ratchet and Clank, and now Song of the Deep. And I'm close personal friends with Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another fabulous episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast broadcasting straight from the bowels of hell. Or at least that's how hot it feels in this stupid room. I'm Drew.
I'm Greg.
I'm Emily.
Still Grant.
You guys are in different seats and it throws you off that easily, but it shouldn't throw you off that we are brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 21st through the 23rd at the DeVos Place. Get your tickets now, grcomiccon.com. It's a big week for Comic-Cons as San Diego Comic-Con is coming up, so it should put you in the mood to buy your Grand Rapids Comic-Con tickets.
Yeah.
We've got some goods coming to GRCC this year, so you're going to want to check it out, grcomiccon.com. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and like them on Facebook for all the latest. The latest from us, we're still the podcast bringing you the four pillars of nerdery: comic books, TV, movies, and gaming. And this week, we're just giving you the normal stuff. We're bringing the goods. I'm going to be selfish and go first because I'm sweaty and feel I may pass out soon. Good God, it's hot in here. Seriously, though, I think it's funny. Emily and I both brought nothing but positives this week because I'm feeling up. I'm feeling good. We'll start with something that Grant seemed distressed about when we talked about it before. American Gods' latest bit of casting news.
Oh, yeah.
The television show has cast, douchebag Dane Cook.
That's a pretty fair assessment.
To play Robbie from the book. Now, if you haven't read the book, this may seem like an off bit of casting considering how stellar the rest of this cast looks. However, if you read the book, oh my God, Dane Cook is perfect
as Robbie.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but the character of Robbie is essentially your quintessential douche canoe rolling down a river of douche with a little douche motor behind him that just goes douche, 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 douche.
So Dane Cook.
It's Dane Cook. This is a perfect bit of casting. It may seem odd given Dane Cook's, I guess, overall suckiness.
Except I do have to give him credit. When he was on Louis C.K.'s show, basically playing himself, he did a surprisingly good job.
And when he was on the movie Mr. Brooks, he again played himself as a douchebag, and he was great at that.
So I guess we should be feeling
might
kind of
be
optimistic.
Some typecasting.
Could be, yeah.
Between that and the recent images released of the first of the New Gods technical boy,
oh man,
this show looks incredible. American Gods rolling along towards finally being a Neil Gaiman adaptation. That could be incredible.
Props to Brian Fuller was good.
We've debated this before. I don't want to get into it again. I loved the book Stardust. I hated the kiddie-ized version that they did for the movie. There's no sex. Again, the romance is so underplayed. They knocked out the entire love story in favor of making it this fantastical voyage. But there's so much subplot and subtext that was missed. Anyways.
Subtext and subsex. Small criteria.
No one say anything. Let that hang in the air as Grant makes terrible jokes.
But we also have to give it to Brian Fuller for just being the perfect showrunner for this property. Everything he seemed to have done at this point seems to be the right move.
No, absolutely. And again, looking forward to this immensely, especially with it being on Star. So anyways, moving on, more TV news and more good TV news. Batwoman, Oracle, and Constantine all rumored to be appearing across the CW DC-verse.
Yes.
Not just on a singular show.
I like that.
This rumor is coming from Bleeding Cool, saying that you could see all of them across Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Reports also coming out that there are contracts for Wentworth Miller and John Barrowman as universe regulars, as in Captain Cold and Merlin, could show up as villains outside of their standard shows.
I really like that.
I love this idea. And also, a contract like this has been offered to John Wesley Shipp.
Ooh.
Who, again, we now have playing Jay Garrick, the original Flash, who is a founding member of the Justice Society, and which will allegedly play a big part in season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow.
The Oracle and Batwoman rumor, I felt, was kind of a stretch on Bleeding Cool's part, because 50% of the time, they're just pulling stuff out of their ass. Mm-hmm. And that's in connection to Maggie Sawyer was just cast in Supergirl, which is a cool character. She's a lesbian, a lieutenant that was in the Metropolis Police, but she's going to be operating out of Capital City where Supergirl's from. The thing is, she dated Kate Kane, who is Batwoman, so they're kind of hoping, or at least Bleeding Cool is representing that as though it's, you know, going to happen.
Sign.
Yeah. Right. And that's the connection they're making. But I love it. I think Kate Kane would be great. And if you can get Barbara Gordon involved as Oracle in that same vein.
What would you guys think of Summer Glau as Kate Kane?
I think we'd be booking a one-way ticket to Bonertown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even if you see, it's not inappropriate when Emily agrees.
Exactly.
And I knew it was right there.
I pretty much always agree too, so let's just assume nothing's inappropriate.
So the hope again, according to the Bleeding Cool report, which should be taken with a grain of salt, but I was just so excited about it, is that this is all leading towards DC and CW hoping to develop a fifth superhero series.
Dude. Is it wrong to say I don't think they can do enough?
No, it's not. It's not wrong at all. It's not wrong at all. So again, don't discount this. Take it with a grain of salt. Don't throw it right out the window. But here's the other part of this that's going to make Grant tingly in his pants.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Rumors are that a similar universe-spanning contract has been offered to Matt Ryan.
Oh my gosh.
Now, for those not familiar, Matt Ryan did play John Constantine on NBC's Constantine before it was canceled, but the contract has been qualified with if the streaming episodes of Constantine perform well on CW Seed.
That would be perfect. Because outside of his ongoing Hellblazer, like, John Constantine was just in and out of all of DC's mystical
bulls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The last thing we're going to talk about involves a little bit of mystical bulls. Stranger Things debuted on Netflix, and this homage to 80s horror, sci-fi, and all the movies you loved growing up is incredible. The reviews are in. Yes, there are some flaws to this show. There are some big noticeable flaws, and that's kind of what makes it so incredible. It's being described as if E.T. had a baby with a Stephen King novel, because these characters are so lovable, but there is so much kind of scary biz that happens. I've described this as if Guillermo del Toro made a TV show in the 80s. Because the monsters and settings are fantastical, like Pan's Labyrinth. The phrasing is great. We're talking multiverse string theory. We're talking... this is billed as a horror series, but let me tell you something. I'm 7 episodes in. I'm almost to the finale. It's only 8 episodes long, the first
season. Oh, really? Huh.
It's an easy binge. It is an easy binge watch because it's so... freaking good.
How's my girl Winona doing?
You know what? I hate saying this. Winona might be the weak part of this show.
Oh, man.
But it's still that good. That it's not the best Winona that you've ever seen. Because the character she's playing is a little one-note-ish for my taste.
Okay.
You know, hysterical mother.
Ah,
hysterical,
yeah.
80s movie mother.
Mm-hmm.
But again, she does it with such fervor and apalm that it just, it sells. It sells well. But it's not as interesting as the children in this show. The 4 child actors are just incredible. And these aren't child actor names you've heard of, which is probably what makes them so good. They're fresh. They seem genuine. The emotions they go through, while it seems like a stereotypical 80s film, feel so real. They feel so... Again, I can't recommend this show highly enough. If you were a fan of John Carpenter, Stephen King, or Steven Spielberg in the 80s, watch Stranger Things on Netflix. That's TV this week. I'm going to go to Emily with movies because I want to keep the positivity rolling before we get to Grant.
We bring y'all down with Grant.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
All right, so movies. Like Drew said, I have nothing negative because I just didn't feel like it.
We staying up!
Yeah!
Jay up, stay blessed!
Wow. So first of all, Ghostbusters was released, and it is getting a lot more positive attention than I think people wanted it to.
Our own reviewer, Ben Raven at thecourtofnerds.com, said he found it hilarious.
He loved it. The president of worldwide distribution at Sony, Rory Brewer, is saying that there is no doubt that there's going to be a sequel.
Awesome.
So they have already started talking about it. It's just been getting great reviews, and I think people are going to be mad that it's doing so well because there were so many like naysayers like, you're going to ruin my childhood by having 2X chromosomes all over my Ghostbusters. No, that's not what happened. They were awesome, and they were awesome without kind of pandering to the sexuality of these actresses, which is another big thing. It's like they were just... BA without having to be like, you know, Lara Croft all posing awkwardly.
I mean, you know, these are, in all honesty, these are attractive women.
Yeah.
And I hope this comes off right. But in the previews, they all look like train wrecks. Like, they all look like they just woke up from a night of hard drinking.
Yeah.
So they should. They just...
They're fighting ghosts. Right.
They're not supposed to look cute. None of us look cute after fighting ghosts for a whole night.
I mean, Emily would know.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I did hear that, like, the big special effects scenes weren't as good as, like, the smaller improv-driven, like, low-FX comedy scenes.
Probably not. But, I mean, maybe they were doing that on purpose to kind of draw on the nostalgia.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you think about, like, you know, the old Ghostbuster movies, at the time, they looked great, but when you look back at them now, you're like, oh, man, that Play-Doh dog. No, like...
And the effects... And honestly, in the old Ghostbusters movies, the effects were few and far between until the end. They started out really, really subtle, and then by the end, it reached this crescendo of, hey, look at all these horrible effects.
Especially with Lord Vigo.
That movie doesn't exist. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't care what anyone
says.
They made
one Ghostbusters movie with men. That was it.
That was hysterical. Peter McNichol was brilliant.
That terrible fan film that someone else made? Yes, that was awful.
Fan film?
I don't recognize it as an official Ghostbusters movie. I don't.
There was not an original trilogy. There was just the one movie.
There was one Ghostbusters movie, and now they've made a second one with women.
Okay.
I'm standing firm on that.
Now that that has been settled. this is definitely a rumor. Kind of take this with a grain of salt as
no, wait,
well.
No, we like rumors here.
We
They're
like
fun.
Rumors. Mm-hmm. But there's talks that the solo Batman movie that Ben Affleck is basically doing all by himself.
Batfleck,
the movie, is going to possibly take place in Arkham Asylum.
Dude.
So it might be reminiscent of the Arkham games, which I'm really excited about because I love little Easter eggs in movies that just, and you can't find more Easter eggs than you would in a Batman movie taking place in Arkham Asylum. They're going to be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even the scenes in, like, Arrow, where they go to asylums, you know, you get all these little Easter eggs, and you had, what was, wasn't it Tara Strong doing a Harley voice?
She's Harley, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just think about, this is going to be, like, a super tense movie the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I imagine it kind of playing out how Dredd did in that giant building that he has to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
You mean terribly with no one seeing it?
And if they do something like that, completely glossing over.
Yeah, I heard the director's cut was really good.
Anyway!
Pylon Green Day! Yay! I should stop moving around so much. It's hot. I'm sorry.
This also has Jeff Johns co-writing it with Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this could be really effing good.
Did you hear the rumor that that Matt Damon might be involved in this, too?
Why wouldn't he be?
I hope so.
Why wouldn't he be?
Wait, really?
But yeah. I can't remember the name of the character that he's going to play, but yeah, he's rumored to be a part of the movie as well.
Well, here's the thing. As long as we're on the Jeff Johns bend, you do know he also had a hand in fixing up the Wonder Woman script as well, which just, I mean, come on. If the more Jeff Johns touches, for people that aren't comic book hardcore people, Jeff Johns has written arguably some of the best comic book stories of the past two decades. I mean, arguably.
And his background in film is legit. He served as Richard Donner's assistant for a number of years in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He knows how to do stuff.
Jeff Johns isn't just a pretty comic book name that they're throwing at these things to make nerds like us happy.
Or a pretty face.
He is a pretty face, isn't he? Please come on our show!
No, he won't. And so, yeah, Batman movie, possibly Arkham. I'm really excited. And finally, we got a more detailed look at some of the stills from the Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. We saw Rita. Was it Kimberly she had up against the
I
wall?
I believe that was Trini.
Was it Trini? Trini, yeah. I didn't get a good look. I was so focused on Rita looking awesome.
Jesus,
but it looks
right?
dark, and Elizabeth Banks is terrifying looking, and I'm so excited. And we got to see more of the suits, which I am excited about. I've seen naysayers about that because they're not
really?
Spandex. Yeah. Oh, did Iron Man create those? Is that Stark Enterprises? Okay, listen.
Listen.
If you're going to go into an intergalactic war, you're not going to wear spandex. You're going to wear armor. And don't be dumb.
It looks completely alien, too.
It does. Like, the close-up shot that they just released,
that was
it
dope.
Looks really cool.
Oh, it's so bomb. It is. And it, what looks like the power packs in their chest that have that Zordon glow to them.
Zordon glow?
Yes.
We need, like, a makeup highlighter called Zordon glow.
Can we please talk about this later, how fabulous it would be?
On fleek.
That's what the kids say.
That's
All
what
right.
the kids are saying.
We're keeping things lit. Greg, you've got gaming. You're up next.
So, speaking of Batman... the new Batman Telltale game
yes.
saw its first trailer this week, and ooh, ooh, my pants can only get so tight. It looks really, really, really cool. We're seeing a lot more of a contemplative look for a Batman game. I didn't see a whole lot of action, which I'm hoping stays true to the actual game, because Telltale isn't really good when it comes to action. But we're seeing a lot more of like what could be a detective, more of the detective thing that Batman does, and I'm excited to see how this goes. Telltale has kind of they've been a little bit iffy lately, at least with Grant. You and I were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. The Minecraft story mode was not very good. It was it was like sugar for kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know they want it, but it's not really all that good for them. also, the Game of Thrones Telltale game was just awful. It was just terrible. And I could not, even after finishing it, I was like, did I seriously waste all my time on this?
But on the other hand, like, the Walking Dead games were so good. Wolf Among Us were so good.
Amazing. Yeah. So I'm hoping that we see more of that in the Batman Telltale game. They've just said that the first episode has been, we do have a name for the first episode, and of course I'm blanking on what it is called because I'm a dummy.
Batman's gonna give me a tent in my pants. That's all I can think about what it's gonna be called.
Realm of Shadows. Realm of Shadows, that's what it is. So when this thing gets released, August 2nd is when they're saying the first episode is gonna get released. I'm really excited for it.
I am too, especially if it's going to be more of the detective stuff. Because I love the more modern Batman stuff, but I'm kind of over him just punching his way through everything.
Right. Yeah.
That's what Superman does. Batman needs to solve things and be that detective and that brilliant. Right. He's a genius, and you don't get to see that anymore. Except for, he pulls out a gadget that it seems like Alfred makes now.
Apparently.
He's always obviously. He doesn't have time to make stuff.
Well, and that would mean a potential awesome spinoff game or a side mission would be solving crimes or doing detective stuff as Tim Drake.
That is also true.
The most detective-y of all the Robins.
And if you think about it, like, WB Games is still going to, they're still going to crank out their Batman fighting games because they're great. Oh,
yeah. Well, so we're getting Injustice 2. Come on.
This just presents a new avenue for a more thoughtful game that is more strongly tied to a good story that hopefully doesn't rely too heavily on the Joker.
Also, by the way, Batman games equal money.
Yup.
Oh, yeah. Wait, really? People like that stuff? I had no idea.
Yeah! So,
I think Arkham Asylum is still their best selling out of all of them.
Yeah, guys. High five worthy. All right, what else you got, Greg?
Speaking of selling a lot, Pokemon Go increasing Nintendo's stock. Now we had a big Pokemon Go cast last week, where we talked a lot about this. However, since
where can people get that?
They can get it at thecourtofnerds.com.
Thank you, Greg.
And there's also tips and tricks that go along with it, where we also talk about how you can get Mew, and we could talk about, legendaries and everything else. I could go on and on about Pokemon.
No, or you could go to thecourtofnerds.com and check it all out for yourself. Yes,
thank you, Segway Drew.
Segway Drew. Anyway, so Pokemon Go is doing wonders for Nintendo's stock. Nintendo was doing okay heading into this quarter, but now their stock has doubled since Pokemon Go was released.
Doubled.
Yeah. Think about that. Their stock is now valued higher than Sony's.
Ooh.
That is incredible and something that we have not ever seen based on one single solitary game. Just nutso. I can't wait to see what happens here and how this continues in the next couple of months as this game's numbers start evening out a little bit more.
Well, and the updates come out, the servers become more reliable.
Oh my God, don't get me started on the damn servers.
Why again?
Oh
my
God.
No,
I can't log in right now and I'm very upset.
Right, because we're inside a Pokestop right now. But here's what I'm going to throw out there, because I've heard a lot of the servers. I mean, yeah, sure, be pissed that everyone loves a great game.
No,
you know?
But here's the thing, is they understand that, I understand at least, as a fan of the game series and as a fan of what they've already put out, that the reason why the servers are slow right now is because they're constantly releasing them in new countries and millions and millions of people are just now picking up the game.
Right.
They're doing a soft rollout so that it's less server intensive than it would have been if they just did a global release, a massive global release, and then we had servers shut down for over a week. That would suck. What they're trying to do right now is ensure that the maximum number of people have this game in their hands as possible.
Right.
So that in the future, they can make sure that the servers are more stable and things get better. Again, I could go on and on about
Pokemon
Go.
Right, but we're not going to go too far into this. I will say this very quickly. The other big positive is that people are now rewatching the original Pokemon series.
I am right now.
Like Emily and Mandatory John mentioned. John has been hooked and I've been laughing at him because I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, watching Pokemon and catching Pokemon. Shut up.
My roommate keeps laughing at me because I just trash talk the crap out of that show.
Well, it's so much fun to mystery science that thing.
Yeah.
Like to sit there and like rolling comment on it.
You're like, damn it, Brock, again. It's Nurse Joy. All of the Nurse Joys look the same.
Why does that hotel owner have these young boys in Speedos working for her? That is inappropriate. That's either child labor or child porn, and I don't know which one I'm more upset about.
The more I watch it, the more I identify with Jesse and James, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God, they're me.
We're going to end up with a Team Rocket cosplay by the time Grand
Rapids Comic-Con. I was Team Rocket on Friday at the Big Poke Hunt.
Look at this. Look at this.
Well, we need a day two at the Comic-Con, so.
I mean.
Well, we're already doing Mulan, right? Are we still doing that?
I was planning on it.
Yeah, I've already ordered
Carly already got your robe.
Yeah. It's a kimono, okay?
Robe.
What do you think you are, Rogue?
I didn't want to appropriate.
We're gonna be really easy to find at Comic-Con. All right, what else? You got one more?
Rock Band 4 just released, or is going to be releasing, a new expansion in its Rivals mode and a Clans mode. A new campaign mode too that they're kind of bundling into this new thing. It's a $30 package that they're releasing. One of them is like a VH1 behind the scenes story mode, which sounds hilarious because it's basically all of the tropes that you would see in a really bad VH1 behind the scenes special. Mm-hmm. All of those packaged into, well, it's your band. It's all the characters that you created for your band for Rock Band 4. So I think that's really entertaining.
Yeah. I would totally play that.
And then there's also a Rivals mode where you can go head to head with other bands and do like back and forth kind of things, which is cool too. Now, again, this kind of brings it back to the big bad for Rock Band 4, which is the cost. The game already, if you are just entering the series for the very first time, is $200 to get all of the instruments.
Wow.
And as many as you would need for a 4-player game session. $200. Add on to that all of the song packs, which are I think 99, each song is 99 cents, and then each song pack is like $5 to $10 bucks, depending on how
many songs are in the pack.
How many songs are in the pack, and also the licensing issues that they have with those as well. Add on to that another $30 pack for this new expansion that doesn't include any songs. That's a bit much. Like, we're looking at a game that is easily the cost of a console, buying a brand spanking new console. Now,
as someone who just didn't buy a new console and bought an old one instead.
Exactly, yeah. So this is something that, and we've actually seen Rock Band 4's sales numbers reflect this, that this is a big problem for Harmonix. They're going to need to really come up with a way to rationalize the cost in the long term. Now, they're hoping that Rock Band 4 is the last of the Rock Bands, that it is going, they're going to continue to release new content for it.
And just expand.
And just continue to expand. Okay. So this, it kind of makes sense in the long run to do this. But in the short term, their sales need to justify the expansion of new content. And if we're having that massive cost at the outset, it's going to be much more difficult to convince people to buy this.
Yep.
If you got to drop a pretty penny for each new pack.
I'm just waiting for the groupie expansion. All right. moving on to things that are totally doable. Grant, you're up.
Oh.
Stay my Drew in the house.
Speaking of doable, we're going to be talking about Betty and Veronica first.
That was a great segue.
That was great.
That turned out really good.
It's like we worked in radio or something.
Seriously.
You rolled in on that segue.
I'm both positive and negative on this. Positive because this is a classic, like, team angry competitor.
Wow. You were doing so well.
And yeah, then you just had to poop all
fizzled
over it.
Out hot.
It all just came
and the
out
word
once.
I want is rivalry.
Yeah, thank you, hot mouth fart.
Getting there. But this has just been a rivalry that's been going on for so long, and Archie Comics has done such a good job of like bringing back.
This relaunch has been incredible.
Yeah, the whole thing. Jughead, Archie. I know the afterlife with Archie is still going on and creeping people out. So adding Betty and Veronica to this is just another feather in their cap. However, Have you heard how many variant covers there are going to be?
25. Yes.
25 covers?
Yes, I heard because I'm friends with Drew.
Oh my gosh, man. That is an absurd... Marvel doesn't do 25 covers.
No, because Marvel puts out 25 books a week. Archie Comics is putting out 2 books this week. But so why not do 25 covers for your 2 most iconic female characters? Why not let as many artists take a crack at it as they possibly want to?
Because you're playing into speculators' game. You want them to buy all the covers.
Yes, you do, because they're a company and they want to make money because they want people to buy all the covers. Is math hard for you?
No, I lived through the 90s and I saw the bubble burst. And right now the bubble is getting a bit too big because people are doing 25 variant covers for a single issue.
I'm going to echo Grant's sentiment just on one thing. When Marvel is doing this, we crap all over it.
Right, because again, Marvel... giant company making tons of dollars already.
Why wouldn't they want to make more money?
Archie Comics, not as megalith. Megalith? Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, but still, why is it okay for the one and not the other?
Because, again, small company versus gigantic monster.
But it's the exact same practice. Regardless of that, it's the exact same practice. They're putting out a bunch of variant covers.
Here's the other counterpoint. Marvel isn't doing variant covers for just iconic people.
The same could be said with Archie Comics.
Hold on. They're doing 15 variant covers for Squirrel Girl number 7. This is the relaunch of your 2 most iconic female characters. This is, again, Betty and Veronica number 1. This isn't number 3. This isn't number 18. Marvel is doing it for every issue, and that's the problem with Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel is
that's
drunk,
the problem with DC, too.
But still, Archie Comics is asking their fans to pick up 25.
They're not. No one's
issues.
Saying you have to buy 25. They're saying pick your favorite
it's
one.
It's not like each
here's
issue
25.
Has one page
yeah.
of the entire story.
It's not like you have to buy the whole thing to get the whole story. You're
this
not
isn't
getting...
DLC, Grant.
Do you guys, have you collected comics before?
Dude, I read comics.
Yes, you're not a collector.
No, I read comics.
You don't understand that people are going to buy all of these. And
that's
an unfair thing to do to your customers.
How is it unfair to provide people with options?
Because it's the same book with different covers.
If I go to McDonald's and they're like, hey, we've got 25 different wrappers for the McDouble, I'm not going to get 25 McDoubles to get every wrapper. I'm going to get the one that I want and I'm going to eat it.
Do you collect McDoubles?
If I did, it wouldn't matter.
But see, the thing is, there are people that would still do that. Which is fine, but the collector niche is a niche within the overall scheme of comic book consumers. So I see both sides here, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate. Because on the one hand, yes, make money. On the other hand, yes, it sucks for the collectors because it's a lot of money that they have to pony up.
But here's
but again, they're factoring into a niche market for it.
And I loved Emily's point of you don't have to buy all 25 to get the story. You're going to get the same story, so pick 5 that you like if you're a collector, or the 5, if you're a speculator, the 5 by the 5 biggest name artists.
So you're not worried about how this is going to affect comic shops like Vault that still have variants of Archie on the shelf? Archie number 1.
That's their call. That is their business decision. They don't have to buy enough to get 25 variants. That's their decision. Mm-hmm. It's a business, man.
All right.
I realize you look at it from very hardcore the collector standpoint, but you have to broaden your worldview, man.
It's overkill. I'm sorry. You're wrong in that respect. It's overkill.
Oh, see, I'm sorry you're wrong. I'm sorry I think you're wrong. You're making a concrete statement. I disagree with you. That doesn't mean that you're wrong. In your tiny little mind, you're right.
I don't want to sit between you guys anymore.
Oh, we'll have a sweaty hug after this.
I want my corner back.
This is just a fun argument. I'm having a good time.
Guys, it's way too hot in this room.
Yeah. But anyway, 25 variant covers, and going on next to Marvel after we're done shitting on them, let's shit on them some more. We've had this conversation last week over our terrible little message thing for Facebook, and we were counting down all the duplicate named characters in Marvel Comics. This comes on the heels of Richard Rider supposedly coming back, which is going to be awesome, and also, you know, there's going to be another Iron Man, which brings the total up to 3 currently. There's going to be Riri Williams, which, awesome idea. I'm glad that she exists. But she's going to be Iron Man. Tony Stark's going to be Iron Man, regardless of his status in life or in death. And Victor Von Doom's going to be Iron Man, too.
Has it been confirmed that she is actually Iron Man? Like, she's going to take that moniker for sure?
Yes.
Okay.
So that, I'm just going to read off the ones that we could think of off the bat. We've got Wolverine with X-23 and Old Man Logan. Doesn't even count into James Howlett. We've got Captain America, Sam Wilson, and Steve Rogers. We've got Thor, who's going to get his hammer. Odinson is going to get a hammer back from Ultimate Thor. So it's going to be Jane Foster and Odinson. We've got Hulk, Amadeus Cho, and the temporarily dead Bruce Banner. We've got Spider-Man, who is currently Peter Parker and Miles Morales. We've got Iron Fist, who's Danny Rand.
Now, hold on. You don't even have to stop there at Spider, because I don't know if anyone else... spoilers, if you want to cover your ears, Grant. I don't know about you.
I don't care.
Allegedly, Mary Jane will now be Iron Spider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you'll have three spiders running around.
Well, technically, it's going to be five if you count Spider, Gwen, and Silk.
Yeah.
We've also got Iron Fist, which... it's cool because it's Kari Andrews handling it and, like, potentially reintroducing a character he... created for Living Weapon. So it's going to be two Iron Fists, three Iron Man, two Human Torches right now, Johnny Storm and Jim Hammond. We've got the two Novas, two Star-Lords with Kitty Pryde and Peter Quill. We've got potentially two Black Panthers with T'Challa and his dead-for-now sister Shuri. We've got two Hawkeyes, Clint Barton and Kate Bishop. And we've got two Cyclopses, two Beasts, two Angels, and two Icemans. They don't understand the concept of legacy hero.
No.
And it's a bummer, because back when they introduced Miles Morales, he was a legacy hero taking over for the Spider-Man, the Ultimate Universe. There needed to be a Spider-Man. When Kamala Khan came along, it was cool because there was no Miss Marvel. She can be Miss Marvel. Now they're just making two of each, and I don't understand what the endgame is, because we know death doesn't work anymore in the Marvel Universe. Everyone comes back.
Death is broken.
We know that the cinematic universe essentially dictates what storylines Marvel wants to emphasize. I don't understand where they're going with this.
Why? You got anything else this week, buddy?
No, that's it.
Good. It's hot as balls. Go to Grand Rapids Comic Con in October when it's not hot as balls. We out. Deuces. Oh, sweet God. It's not any better in the hallway.
Hey, this is John with the Court of Nerds. Follow us on Facebook, Court of Nerds, Twitter, @court_of_nerds, and visit our website, thecourtofnerds.com.